ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host, and welcome to the show. Excited today to welcome Deb Brock-Evans back to the show. She'll be with us in just a second. Tell you a little bit about the show today. In our last gathering, as Deb and I talked about the Pyramid of Wellness, we were talking and we did the show on connection. We didn't have enough time after in the episode to really dive into some of the negative effect of connection and how connection can help change that. So today our topic is about healing our divide within ourselves and talking about that connection. So we're going to dive into that in a little bit here. And I'm going to bring Deb on and we're going to have a great conversation. A couple other things we're going to be looking at today. We're going to look at an organization that Deb supports in helping to feed the children, and I think is a very powerful powerful and necessary thing right now. So she's going to have a few minutes to talk to you about that and share a video, and looking forward to bringing that into as a part of the show for a while here to support this cause and help really drive it home. So talking about the Pyramid of Wellness, we're going to get into a review here in a second, but before we begin, as we usually do, let's take a moment to focus. Let's focus. And so I just want you to take a moment wherever you are and bring your awareness to your body. If you're sitting, if you're laying, wherever you are listening, I want you to close your eyes gently. I guess you can slam them closed if you want to, but close your eyes and just get in touch with your breath and your body. Feel how your body feels right now, this moment. If you can, your feet are on the floor, you're feeling the earth under you. Feel the breath now as it moves into your body. How does it feel when you're breathing? Are you aware of your breath? Does the breath grab your awareness? As you're breathing, how does the air move in your body? Have you ever taken time to notice how it moves in your body? We're going to begin with some counted breathing, and we're going to breathe in through the nose to a count of four. At the top of that full breath, I'm going to ask you to relax and to hold it for just a moment, and then you'll release from the mouth, blowing all of the air out to a count of six, and then at the bottom, when you're empty, I want you to find relaxation and calm in empty, and then open and breathe in again to a count of four, again at the top, hold. Release through the mouth to a count of six. And the reason we do that is to make sure that we're purging all of the old air and all of the old energy out of the lungs. And that as you bring in that new air, remember that air, that breath is life. Breath is what animates us, what fills us, what brings all of these cool things into our world. So let that breath fill you and watch it as it moves through your body. So let's begin again with that focus deeply inside. As we inhale to a count of four, two, three, four, and we're resting, relaxing at the top, and now we're releasing from the mouth. One, two, three, four, five, six, release it all, and then rest in the emptiness. And then open and inhale, taking full breath, two, three, four, as you reach the top, expanding and relaxing, and then release out of the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Resting in empty, relaxed, and inhaling. One, two, three, four. Holding full at the top, and then release. Two, three, four, five, six. One more time together as you rest at the bottom. And now we fill, inhaling. Two, three, four. Holding at the top, relaxing and releasing. Two, three, four, five, six, and resting in the emptiness. Carry on with your own for another two or three breaths, letting yourself be filled, feeling how the air moves through your body, feeling that oxygen at the top, and then you release it. And feel yourself consciously purging old energy, consciously purging old breath as you reach the bottom. And then relishing that emptiness, feeling it, and fully engaging as you go into the next breath. Good. Feel yourself collecting, being completely present in now as you reach the top. And then releasing. Good. Feel the power of that release as you reach the bottom. Sit in the emptiness for just a moment. And on this last breath, bring all of your focus to bear. As you fill and reach the top, embracing as you release, bringing it all the way back, continuing to purge, purge, purge. Let that air go as you reach the bottom. And now allow your breath to flow naturally. It'll continue in the same fashion for a little while. Just stay with it. And as you're breathing, take in these words. Feel these words in your experience and allow yourself to connect. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And just breathe that in. Ever so gently bringing your awareness back to the space as you focus right here, right now. And gently open your eyes and come back into the space as we bring Deb into the show. Hello, Deb.
Hello.
So good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. I feel fantastic now.
Oh, good, 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 good.
I'm rocking and rolling here today on the boat. I hope you don't see me swaying. It's not because I'm...
It's not the Kundalini rising on you.
We're just having a bit of a windy day. And it was interesting just with that grounding exercise. You say connecting in with the earth. It was like, yeah, no, there's not a lot of earth below me right now.
Oh, amazing. Well, I was, and not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. At the end of our last dialogue about connecting, you had talked about spending the 2 weeks in an effort to find that time to do some breathing and to kind of incorporate a practice of sorts. How has that gone for you?
Not great.
Fair enough. Okay.
There's been a lot of other things going on. I have been doing more in the mornings to, I haven't been consistent with it, but to get up and move, and do some breathing and have some meditation time in the mornings. But my night routine is still not great. Okay. So I'm not honoring that real, restorative part of the pyramid that we talk about, which is so important.
And it's all good. And it's, you know, I think everybody comes into their own process as they do. If there isn't some great need feeling going on in your experience, because you feel pretty balanced most of the time, it may not be calling you very strongly. The question is to really assess, where are you in regard to that? If you notice that your energy is in the toilet a lot, if you notice that you're struggling a lot, then the chances are good you're going to feel much more inclined to want to dive in. When you find that you're managing on a daily basis in a pretty good fashion, you may be doing things that you're not even aware of that are stimulating you to your center, because of how your belief systems are set up, how you're structured. It could be that the whole shift to the boat and being deeply connected to your family in that way has created a really powerful alignment that is hard to knock you out of, regardless of circumstance. So I'm giving you a little out only because it's all very individual. It is very individual. So if you find yourself doing things in the morning that start, then that's where your energy gets the most juice right now. And at some point, if need be, you'll find somewhere in there to slide something in at night if you need to do that. You know, again, it's not there. This isn't a judgment zone. It's all, let's do what we can do together to make sure you're staying as aligned as possible. And it sounds like you're doing just fine.
Yeah, and I think coming out of that sleep, that sleep state, I'm more able to connect in with myself, you know, easier in the morning. So you're sort of in that midway zone, I think, you know, between, subconscious dream state and being right back fully in your body and in the more conscious ego state, I suppose. So it's a nice, that waking period is a nice time to delve around in that middle ground. Yeah.
Right on.
It's easy to connect in. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, good, good. So we're going to do a quick review here on the wellness pyramid, just to for listeners who haven't been a part of the show before, or may only be, have not seen the series. The wellness pyramid is something that I created, and Deb has been working with us on the creation of, based on kind of a new paradigm of wellness. This, not a kind of, but compiling it in a way that I think is new. And that is looking at those activities that we do every day, all those activities that we are involved in that are more activities that tend to be, activities. And I'm not going to qualify it because it ranges. So as we look at that, pop this up here. Just looking at the pyramid, we see that we start with breath and breathing. That's the thing we ultimately do the most of. It's the breath is the cornerstone of our experience. It's what keeps us animated and alive. It is what, where chi and prana and ki and all those powerful words come from, is the breath is bringing life to this body and to this physical vessel that we live in. So finding a foundation of breath, finding a connection to your breath and managing the breath, being able to be a part of the breath in a very active and conscious way. And that when you are conscious of how you use your breath, that then evolves into the mind, and the mind then becomes a participating force in that capital S self, that soul expression, because the breath has created this alignment and connection. The mind now can be enrolled into supporting that new foundation. So from that new foundation, then we move into the section called integrating and rejuvenating. And that's whatever you do, and it includes sleep, but it's whatever you do that helps to integrate. What kind of daily practice do you have? How are you continually stimulating your relationship with your breath? And how are you continuing to stimulate the breath and the mind's relationship to how you interact in the world? So the integrating and rejuvenating is an important part, because sleep becomes a powerful tool for integration. So as we're in the world experiencing it, when we come home at night or when we go to bed, whenever we do that, the time is about picking all the parts and pieces and sort of seeing how they all come together in your life and in your world. And because you have the breath supporting you and the mind is enrolled, now this time period is being very effective at helping to expand your field and your consciousness. And so what happens out of that becomes the beginning of energy moving outside of self, in that it becomes now about creating. We're now from this rejuvenated place, from this place of being, we're now creating. We're allowing creation to unfold because we're connected to our desires. We're connected to this alignment, to our highest expression. And now we're ready to bring into the world, into this time-space reality, we're ready to bring into the world creation, whatever that is. And part of that is this. This is creation happening every day of our lives. So you take it from all those different angles, and now you're creating, you become a conscious creator. So your energy is fully engaged behind the desires, helping you to manifest them into the reality of time and space, which is what happens once we move from creation. Because in the focus of creation, we have the breath and the mind in alignment with the highest self. We've integrated the energy, we've created alignment that's so powerful, and that creation is moving forward, and all the cooperative components all around the wherever, your world, the universe, are moving in ways to help that come to life. And that's where we begin to see manifestation. That's where we begin to see it coming from non-physical expression to physical expression. And again, there is no how in any of this. This is all a process of utilizing energy. And then where we came to next was in the connecting. The connecting is not just about what we do with people. It's about how we connect. What do we connect to? How do we use connection? And what does connection bring us? And that, I think that brings us kind of full circle to where we've been. How'd I do, Deb?
Oh, you did great.
Anything you want to layer in there? Anything you want to add to that conversation?
No, I'm loving it.
Okay.
Yeah. where did we get to? With the last session, we got to addiction. So this was the, wasn't it? Anxiety and addiction. So this was
Yes. So it's a little of both. We're going to focus in some on the positive aspect of connection, and then we'll spend the latter half of the show really diving into those aspects of how, you know, all the scientific research that's been done that's showing that the cause of so much of the things we deal with in our society, from addiction to anxiety to depression, is all about this idea of connection. And so I want to dive into that. What's that?
Or lack of connection?
Or lack of, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Lack of connection, whether it be with self, whether it be, and ultimately that's going to be the hard part. But we're going to dive into that a little more in detail. What I would like to do before we go, since we got the review done, if you're okay with this, why don't we go ahead and move into, let's talk about nourishing the children. Deb and I were talking yesterday. we're incorporating this new into the program. Deb is deeply involved in this this movement with Nourish the Children, which is about feeding the kids, feeding hungry kids, feeding impoverished kids. She's going to talk about that because I didn't go in depth, and she has. So I'm going to let the expert talk about the topic. I'm going to put up a graphic while she talks, and then we're going to watch a video after that. It's pretty cool. So here we go. Deb, the floor is yours.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Yeah, no, look, I'm very proud to say that I'm working with an inspiring group of people at the moment who are consistently coming together from all around the world. And last month alone, we raised over 125,000 meals for the fight against child hunger. And I think you guys can agree that now more than ever, in the face of COVID and the huge disruption that it's been causing all over the world, it's really great to see people coming together still to help those that are hardest hit. Imagine the disruption and the distribution channels that are supporting those children in these countries. You can see more than now than ever that the importance of really being a part of something bigger than ourselves. So the communities that we're supporting on absolutely rely on our donations. And you know, according to UNICEF, a child dies of malnutrition every 6 seconds. That's just unbelievable, and it's completely unacceptable. There are many excellent organisations, as I'm sure you know, that are working to solve this really complicated challenge around the world. But 30% of most donations actually go towards advertising and administration. And most of the food that these children receive are things like rice and grains and milk powder, which fills their bellies, but it's not exactly meeting their nutritional needs. These children are severely malnourished. And the organisation, the initiative that I've partnered with, the organisation I've partnered with have an initiative, a program that whereby they don't have any administration or advertising costs. They can feed, they have fed about 650 to 700 million meals and still counting. So yeah, for about $2 a day, you can feed two children, or $1 a day, feed one children. And what we're getting, what we're providing is this nutritional bag of, it's kind of a porridge meal type, a porridge type meal, and it feeds one child for a month. So it's got many, servings in there, but it's giving everything that malnourished kids need. So 25 different vitamins and minerals, a really good balance of carbs, protein, fiber, and fats. Each bag has 30 meals, and it's giving them everything they need. It's not just feeding their bellies. But also, we're actually helping with, this is enabling them to then go to school. We're dispersing these around the schools programs as well so that they can stay educated or get educated. And it's helping some of their communities as well who are involved, building independence in the communities that are helping. Absolutely amazing work that we're doing. But the most important thing is that these meals aren't just belly fillers, and that also, your money is not getting swallowed up in paying advertising and administration and paying for voluntary support and that sort of thing. So I'm really proud to be a part of it. It's fantastic. And I think Jim's going to put some links below to ways that you can donate. You can click on a link and you can buy one bag for a month. You could buy two, you could buy four, or you could buy five if you feel like it. But I'm on a real drive to support this. I'd love to become a brand ambassador and to see this coming into New Zealand, our own country here. I mean, we have a lot of malnourished children here in New Zealand as well. It's appalling, given that we're a first world country.
Yeah, same, and the same here. It sounds brilliant. It sounds amazing, and I'm excited to support you and the effort. I don't know if I said this or if I told you this, but I am going to build this into my show each week.
Are you?
And I will put a commercial. I will put a commercial for this every week for a while to really build to build it. So feel free to reference.
Wow, I really appreciate that, Jim. That's super
absolutely
generous.
Absolutely. So we have a great video that you provided that we're going to watch. It's going to take about 2 minutes. And are we ready for that, or did you have more that you wanted to provide?
That's great. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put all of the links to all the things you were talking about are in the comment sections on both Adventures in Truth and the Science of Transformation's Facebook page, in addition to the live feed. So we have that. So here comes the video. Here we go.
I don't think there's any volume there.
I think there's no sound.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Why would there not be sound? I'm going to have to look into that, but.
That's okay. It's okay. I've definitely given the synopsis the gist of what's going on. We're across all these continents at the moment. Reaching into many, many countries. Malawi is one of the main countries in Africa that we support, but lots in South America too.
Yeah, anything you can add to this? I'll find out why the video doesn't have any sound between next time, but maybe if you remember it, you can share it.
Yeah, no, I think I've pretty much summed it up there for you, Jim.
Okay.
Yep.
You can see the vitamin meal there is...
Yeah.
The product, right?
Yeah. So being a social business, it means that we can generate much needed, consistent and increasing food donations. And every for every 5 bags that we donate, an additional bag gets donated for free as well. So when we raise 40, there's going to be 8 more children going to school and getting their full bellies the next month. So I'm really, I'm on a mission to raise 120 children fed this month. So anyone who would like to donate 1, 2, or 3, or 4 is going to go a long way towards that, me hitting that target.
Right, yeah. On. Excellent. Very, very cool. Thank you for bringing that. And
thanks for that.
I'm excited to see how we can impact that. So right on. All right. Moving along here. Too far. Not far enough. There we go. Okay. So as we wind our way back here into the conversation on connection. So the positive impact. So connection, I think we talked about last time. Connection is all about how our energy reaches out and how we allow energy to connect with us, right? So it starts with the relationship with self. It starts with how do we feel about who we are? Do we understand why we're here, who we are? Do we have some sense of, you know, I don't think anybody comes in going, I'm very clear why I'm here. There are some, but I don't think most of us come from that place. So connection, getting to the point of connection, you've been building it all along. It's like the neural network at the brain almost. It's as you become more focused, as your energy becomes bigger and more aligned, it stimulates all of these connections. It stimulates all of this. I'm at a loss for a word right now, but all of these connections. It's the only word I got. Yeah, well, I'm thinking. I was seeing the neural, neural network kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the positive impact is really is that the feeling of connection is an intrinsic feeling. It is when you have that sense of connection, it's not something that you woke up one day and go, oh, I feel connected. It's something you have to work on to some degree because we're trained out of connection most of our lives. Most of us as human beings. Go ahead. Please.
I was just going to say that, Jim. So this came up in a conversation yesterday. And I was saying, you know, really, from my perspective, when we're born, we're actually the most connected at that point to our higher selves. And we slowly unlearn this, you know, in the first, you know, 6-7 years of life until we've really, the ego has become more of the controlling, dominant entity, you know, within us, I suppose, and we lose that connection with the soul. But I really feel like we come into this world very open and very in a state of love, mm-hmm. and we love and trust everyone that is that comes into our path. We're completely dependent on them. We unconditionally love our parents. We don't believe that they'll ever do any harm. But mm-hmm. when things in life can change. And negative things may happen, we start to, because of that open love that we have, that kind of unconditional open love, we will start to blame ourselves for something that has happened to us or harmed us or hurt us. Mm-hmm. And we'll start to blame ourselves because we wouldn't possibly fathom that these people that are raising us would do anything intentionally to harm us. And we start to unlearn that connection.
Can I throw something in the middle of that thought process?
Yeah.
I don't want you to lose it, but I want to put a little twist on that. And that is the reason that we blame ourselves is because we come in understanding we create our own reality. So if our reality is shit, we think we're doing it because that's how we come in. We come in going, this is amazing. This is awesome. Yeah. I am everything. And somebody says, maybe not so much everything. But anyway, sorry. That's an important nuance, I think. In understanding, we know we're there. So go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, but then we unlearn that. Then we start to, it's this move, like, it's like that, what I was saying before, from that coming from a subconscious dream state into that waking state, into a conscious state. We that's what we do at the beginning of our lives. We move from that I am a creator, I create everything around me, I am love, through to this, I'm not enough. I'm not loved. Bad things happen. The world is a harsh and bad place, and I need to be guarded, and I need to be, I need to protect myself, and it really does. It swings right out of there, and then we come to our stage where we are in life now, Jim, where we come full circle, and we start to realize again what it's all about. But isn't it crazy that the whole life cycle, and it doesn't happen for everyone either, but that whole life cycle is about coming into the world knowing what it's all about, unlearning that, and then relearning it.
That's crazy.
That's how it begins crazy. Anyway.
Well, I think it's particularly important in this time that we're in. Connection becomes an enormous thing that we have to confront with ourselves. And, you know, with quarantines and lockdowns and people being literally forced to be with themselves and be with their own energy and their own, you know, it's a big deal to understand why connection is so important. When that relationship is good, this becomes a time of great joy because it's quiet. I mean, it's not quiet in the sense that there's like this seemingly never ending crazy energy of fear and it's vacillating and it's all over the place, but let's focus. Can we keep myself continuing to focus here? So the positive impacts, the reason connection is so significant is that when you allow all of those tendrils, as we were talking about, when you're using the breath, you're aligned, your mind is enrolled in the process of capital S self, meaning the soul, that leads to being able to create, well, being able to integrate and to find that alignment, to then create, to then find that manifestation. All of that's creating these connections because your energy is reaching out for all of those things that support the desire that you're looking to create, that support the feeling you're looking to experience. That's why it's so important to feel the feeling anyway. Feel it just because it's you can. They're all a choice. You have the option to feel joy anytime you want to. You may not be able to get from rage to joy, but you can choose to focus to joy so that you can move away from rage into something more positive in your experience. So lots of positive impact on the connection side and how significant it is, because if we look at the pyramid here real quick again, we're going to see that when we move from connecting, suddenly it becomes a process. Remember, we talked about the toroidal field. That's the energy that emanates from us that kind of moves in this fashion, which you can't see me, but it's sort of that whole figure eight idea. But a toroidal field is an energy field that we create. So once you've connected then, and we will get into self-care and transforming, because those kick it up to a level that is beyond what many of us are even like putting our rational brains around. So
yeah.
This is why we're spending so much time in the connection piece. I do want to take a moment here. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. I'm super excited about this particular commercial because I have a brand new video commercial for my book. And the book is, if I haven't talked about it enough yet, my editor had got her copy of the proof in her hand, and she took a copy of it sitting on a chair in her house. And I'm waiting for UPS to come to my door at this moment.
So it's
pretty exciting. It's going to be literally in my hand. So we'll be back in about a minute, guys. Be right back. I almost couldn't manage myself through that.
That was awesome. I really like it. Very powerful, actually. Yeah. The whole world needs this book right now, Jim, like more than ever. And you know what we were talking about before, about, you know, being, you know, isolated and quarantine and lockdown and whatever you want to call it. You know, the only form of connection that people have now without that physical human connection is connection via the internet. And how complicated a minefield that is, you know, and via televisions as well, you know, by television, where we're getting fed a very specific narrative. That is just all fear encompassing, isn't it? It's pretty hard to protect yourself online, seeking out information from either side, you know, and from all the different perspectives. There's fear everywhere.
Yeah, I found myself. I've gotten to the place for my own well-being that I don't respond to much of anything. I don't comment. I don't say anything. I take it in. I integrate it. I listen to it. I watch. But I know, you know, and again, to our conversation, if I go just that much too far, I have to go do some breathing exercises to get myself lined up again, because it dismantles my energy so quickly. And I'm not a lightweight, you know, I mean, as far as that goes. And so, that I'm experiencing it the way I'm experiencing it, I can't imagine the intensity, because I'm struggling on a daily basis sometimes where there's so much going on and so much energy going on that, you know, I really have to stop and honor the building of that muscle and say, okay, I'm going to go do some breathing. I'm going to get myself back on track, because this thing that I'm feeling right now, I want to understand it if it's something I need to understand. But if it's just noise, if it's just dismantling, I don't want any of that.
Do you feel that that a lot of people's idea of connection is, their understanding of connection is actually connection to others, and that by being isolated we are trying to find connection through alignment of beliefs of what we're trying to make sense of, what is going on in the world right now. And so you're aligning with groups, you're aligning with factions, you're aligning with perspectives that validate how you're feeling. But at the same time, you can get very much swept up in that and down certain rabbit holes, for want of better words, or swept up, and soon you find yourself in a part of a movement that isn't necessarily where your true self is connecting to. And what I'm finding is that, you know, even if you're not, for example, believing the mainstream narrative of what's going on, of what we're being told by official, you know, media and government and everything, even if you're looking at the opposite of that, you're still getting swept into a fearful path of this, these other alternatives of what could be. And it's becoming more and more evident to me that wherever you sit on that fence, if it really is that black and white, and I don't believe it is, wherever you sit, if you're trying to convince others and you're trying to get your point across, it's not helping you in your own state of calm at all. You're in this state of fear wherever you are, and this, it's becoming more and more apparent to me that this whole, what we're going through collectively as a planet, as a human race on this planet, is actually very much an individual journey. It actually has to come back to the individual as well as the collective from a spiritual sense, because I do feel like we're in a spiritual war right now, but that spiritual war is fought on an individual level, and it's what we make, how we control our energy right now is what is most important. Because as you no doubt say in your book, and I haven't read it yet, but I've got the copy, so I'm going to be reading it. But I'm imagining that's what it's about, right? It's when you focus in on yourself and you focus in on what you want to create in the world, that is what's going to manifest, and that's what's going to help dissipate this fear.
Yeah,
But
and I think that.
coming back to my little rant though, is that I do you feel that most people's understanding of connection is actually related to connection to others rather than connection to self?
Yes, and actually, I'll take that even a step further. I think their alignment is with diversion. Anything to
Oh.
not pay attention to self. So if I can make it about
Yes.
everybody else, then if they're over there and I'm over here, then I'm alone and I'm not okay. Well, you're not you're, you you are alone and okay because that's how you feel. You're alone and not okay because that's the choices that you're making. It's not because they're not here. The relationship here is not functioning well. So that's the thing about all of this, and the beauty of what you just described is so powerful. This process is because we can't create from a dirty place. We can, I mean, we can create from any place, but we can't create the love on the planet. We can't create the connection that we desire if we haven't created that in our own little world, in our own little environment. Because if you don't have it, you can't share it. If you haven't manifested, if you haven't juice that up in your own experience, you have nothing to give in that regard. And so to your point too about the diversion of the groups, that's why I say I've just been observing, because I've seen some people who believe themselves to be highly spiritual, who are constantly pumping out the alternative viewpoint, which is all
Which is
fear.
still a fearful, yeah.
It's all fear, and saying, but it's going to get better, and get ready. I've seen get ready. I've seen wait till it happens. I think 7 million times in the last 6 months. It's this great awakening. Okay, I'm all about the great awakening. I'm all about that's all good. And I think humanity awakening to a whole new level of consciousness is extraordinary. But I take a very different viewpoint to the rest of it. The underpinnings of our culture and the way our society has been developed are not healthy, that's for sure. They need to
No.
change, that's for sure. But past that, I don't need any more drama. I just need to understand what now is the next step. And if and until I'm called to engage in a particular fashion, I'm going to continue to nurse this garden. I'm going to continue to nurse this garden. If you're not called, meaning you're not compelled to get involved in a way like Deb is doing with nourishing the kids. If you're not compelled to that experience, then stop doing whatever you're doing, because it's diversion. It's not about connection. It's about diverting yourself from paying attention to yourself and paying attention to your interaction in the world and self. And it's so that's the negative impact. I want to throw up a graphic here real quick. This is the other side of the coin with regard to what happens in the pyramid. So in the negative impact of the pyramid, we see that breath becomes unconscious breath. So we're not paying any attention to breathing. We're just letting the body do what it normally does in its subconscious, in its unconscious, or that it does all by itself. So we don't think breath is terribly important, so we don't really pay attention to it. So when it comes to the mind, then we think the mind is the focus of everything. And so it becomes about how do I get what I want, and using willpower to make it happen. And so it's all littered and filled with resistance. It's filled with all kinds of resistant energy that is pushing, 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 pulling, pushing, getting in the way. There's not enough. I don't have enough. The pie's not big enough, but I'm going to make my life happen. And so you're working 80 hours a week at stuff you don't want to be doing, with people you don't like, in an industry you hate, thinking you're going to make something useful. And I'm not saying that's true of everybody, because not everybody's there. But if you're in the position of how and willpower, most of everything is there. It has to be one vibration, another vibration. They're two different things. So what happens then is that energy, that unfulfilled energy, that frustrated energy of constantly pounding affects sleep. So now we don't get the restoration that we need. We don't get the rejuvenation we need. We don't get the integration that we need. So sleep becomes another form of avoidance. And so we avoid for 6 or 7 hours to not have to feel what we've been feeling for the previous day, only to wake up to feel it again. And then we go from not sleeping and taking that into work. And so instead of creating, now we're working. We're working for the man. We're working for a paycheck. We're working to pay off a debt. We're working to work, 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 because you got to work if you got to do the house. And if you're going to use willpower, you got to work. So you're working and you're working and you're working and you're miserably not happy, or maybe some degree of unhappy, who knows where. And so what manifestation becomes is consuming. So consuming becomes about all of this unhappiness or all of this dissatisfaction that now becomes about, well, maybe I'll eat myself that way, or maybe I'll drink myself that way, or maybe I'll smoke myself that way, or maybe I'll fuck myself that way, whatever. You know, it's all consuming. And the connection never happens, because that's a self, and again, it's an energy that rolls in on itself. When you're consuming, your physical energy is depleted, you're not breathing, you're back down here again, and it's unconscious, and the whole cycle just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. So that is, in a nutshell, the negative end of that experience. So what do you think of that?
Yeah. Well, that brings us nicely into that, we were going to talk about addiction a bit, weren't we? That consuming of some substance that's going to numb yourself to that whole cyclic pattern that you were just talking about, which is going nowhere and not not fulfilling you.
I want to
talk a little bit to that.
Yes, and this is a perfect transition for that, because there's a lot of research now that talks about how connection is really at the source of the major health issues that we deal with anxiety and depression and PTSD and what did you just say, Deb? You were talking about, did I miss it? What were you referencing?
Various substances. I mean,
addiction.
Addiction.
I didn't put that on the screen, and I realized that I was like, oh, why did I put addiction there?
Part of consuming in a negative fashion.
Yeah, negative consuming. So I have a construct I want to throw at you. Just and again, I'm not a scientist. I'm just a guy who really understands energy very well. And so when I think about things like PTSD, and particularly PTSD, because that's a big deal and it's become an even bigger deal. And I think the thing that is at the core of it is the understanding that when we put ourselves in an untenable situation, when we force ourselves to involve ourselves in a circumstance that is entirely against everything that your being exists for, can you imagine that that might cause trauma? Can you imagine that's going to cause a powerful separation in your energy, because you have to compartmentalize to survive? You have to. Do you understand? It's not an option. You know, I think about the guys in the service in particular that get most of the PTSD stuff that goes on. They're entrained into thinking in a particular fashion about God and country and all of the things that whole indoctrination process is about, because they had to create it that way in order to save as many lives as possible in a circumstance that's designed to kill people. So again, oxymorons out the craziness, you know, it just blows my mind. But so here you are as an individual in a circumstance which you came into in some form of alignment. You may not know, you know, I think about the stories of as I was growing up, and even today, guys that they're 16, 17, 18, they don't have any direction. They're not sure what they're doing. Maybe I'll go join the service because I then get my college paid for, and I can make some money and bank some money and maybe go travel overseas, and I can do these things. But they don't think about what happens to their being as a result of that process. Now, that's not just limited to, I'm using the military as an example, but that's not limited to one area. That happens in many areas, anywhere that you want to look at PTSD. So I'm just saying, from the purposes, and then from there, it all extrapolates from the anxiety to the addiction, to the depression. They're all interrelated. They're all connected, believe it or not.
Yeah.
They're all connected, but in a completely negative fashion.
Yeah.
So finding those, that building that powerful model from the bottom with the breath at the beginning, building the foundation and really opening that up, begins to pull your energy, the disparating energies, back together. And then at some point you have to confront at least two major questions. The first is, how well are you aligned with the understanding of death? What is your perception of death and dying? And what have you done to it in order to be okay in the circumstance that you're in? That's the first thing. Because you are confronted inexorably with your death. Whether you're in it, whether you die, whether someone else dies, it is a circumstance where that is the imminent thing you have to deal with. So it's either kill or survive. You know, especially if you're in a war situation or in an aggressive situation. So I kind of lost my trail there for a second.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's almost came out of nowhere, but actually it all comes back down to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so I encourage anyone, whether you're dealing with depression or anxiety or PTSD, finding that level, finding that first place in your breath, getting the relationship started with self, getting the relationship. I know that so much of it is, I can't relive this. I can't go back to this. I don't want to relive this. And I'm saying that's a cover story. That is, yes, it happened. I'm not denying that it happened. But what's missing is that the story really doesn't matter. What matters is the impact that it created. What matters is how you've judged yourself as a result of the circumstance. Because at the moment that someone dies at your hand, the moment that a bomb blows up and people die around you, and a car crashes and people die, the moment that happens, the emotional impact is so extraordinary. All those souls having their response, you having your response in a completely unnatural situation that you have no ground for understanding or even wanting to understand, because it's not about who you are. It's not. I don't care if you came out of thinking that you're a gun-toting, conservative, truck-driving, beer-drinking, whatever. It doesn't mean anything. That's a story you tell yourself. You're still a human being on this planet that was created by the spark of God, that here you are in the physical manifestation. That's who you are. And if what you've done and who you are can't come together, you have PTSD. If what you are and what you've done can't come together, you are depressed, you have anxiety, you have fear. All of it is driven by fear. So
can we apply this to, say, a different person? So yes. here in New Zealand, and I'm no expert on this at all, here in New Zealand we have a real terrible problem with young people and suicide rates per capita. And undoubtedly our youth are suffering from forms of anxiety, depression, complete disconnection with self. And obviously getting to this point where you were just describing before, where they confront, you know, their own death and become okay with it. And like I said, I'm no expert in this, but could you talk to, you know, some of that process as you see it, that, you know, to fit that type of person?
Yeah,
well, it's downward spiral.
Yeah, it's not really different. The what leads them to that is being in an environment that's unconnected. What leads them to that, because young people are still, you know, to what you said earlier in the show, you know, those first 7-8 years are very informative. Those are what set the stage for what's going to unfold the next 30 years or 50 years or whatever. It doesn't mean that it's prescribed and it's in stone, but when you're in your 12, 13, 14, 15, you're still much closer to your origin than you are when you're 60 and 70, right? Well, that's not true either, because you're back closer to your origin the other direction, but as far as living on the planet is concerned. So what I see happening is that the only thing you can see from a kid's perspective largely is capitalism, consumerism, violence, everything that you could consider largely negative, if there's no support and direction to not pay attention to that, right? Well, if both parents are working, the kids are going to school, they're getting inundated all day long, they come home and watch TV for 4 hours, then they do homework, then they sit on the Xbox for a couple more hours. Maybe they'll get time with their friends. They may be being given some religion, but even that is incongruent, because it's just a bunch of story. It's a way to connect, but it's, again, diversionary connection. It's not rooted in the deepest part of ourselves. It isn't that you can't get there from here. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying make sure that it is creating something in you in the form of an alignment. So those young people coming into the world, kind of going, wait, where's the love? Wait, where's me in this picture? And now you're telling me I'm a snowflake, or now you're telling me I'm a crybaby, or now you're telling me I need my time out. I'm an adult struggling to live in this bullshit. I don't know how the kids are doing it. I'm a 56-year-old man who every day goes, are you kidding me? I can't imagine being 14 right now and trying to embrace what's happening in the world. So it's on us as adults, as parents, as peers, as teachers, as to really focus our energy on get your shit together individually and help our kids find places they can anchor into a reality that makes more sense to them. And am I saying all kids are great? Ultimately, yeah, I am, because what makes them not great are the people and the events around them. And they don't have the skill sets to fend off all of our bullshit. They just don't. And as much as we want them to, our inability to deal with ourselves is not their fault or their problem. It's ours. And so it's time for all of us to step up and create that foundation for everybody to find that. And that's what I think my book is about, really. And that's why I say it's a life changer, because when you understand how fear is used and when you understand your relationship with it, you will never be the same. It will change you inexorably and completely. And you will begin to seek out those things that satisfy and connect you, because that's what you realize is, I've got to find connection. Okay, I got to get here first. And now I'm going to go. Once I have it, I'm going to draw to me what all of those connections, when I have it here, they come up, they show up. I run into people, I talk to people, they call, whatever. It's all over the place. So
brings me into that state of joy, perpetual joy, which is the complete opposite end of fear.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't wait to read your book, Jim.
Me too. I haven't read the whole thing cover to cover in a while, so I'm excited.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have gone chapter by chapter, you know, because we've done all the deep editing and all of that stuff. But now, and it's completely reformatted from how I had it formatted when I first wrote the book, because she is a absolute wizard and has turned what I thought was a good piece of work into a masterpiece from my perspective. It rocks my world.
What
she's been able to do. So. And we are at that time again. Hope that we got to dive in enough to really give you all some thought and at least give you some fuel or some food to nibble on here about how do I find connection? What do I do to generate connection, and how extremely important it is to finding love and to finding your love for self first. And then you can love everybody else, because you're going to have an unbelievable fountain of it.
Certainly. Just to wrap up from our perspective here, just within our own family unit, in the last few weeks, there has been a lot of work on self. My husband's done some amazing work with a landmark forum and has done a lot of, you know, deep diving. I am too, and both of us are just really feeling a pull towards connecting with each other, and most importantly also connecting with our kids. And you know, let's just all keep a real close eye on our kids.
Amen.
You know, let's not assume that they're all okay. They are living through this just as we are. We know it's crazy, and a lot of the time they don't talk about it enough. And let's just all really be watching out and looking at our kids, watching our kids.
And what a great way to connect is to have those conversations that say, you know, I'm struggling. I'm your parent and I'm struggling. So I know you've got to be feeling some things. Can you talk about it? Can you share? Can you draw about it? Whatever you got to do. Let's connect.
Let's talk about it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, fantastic. Deb, I can't tell you how much I enjoy spending time with you in these conversations. It's always so really uplifting, and I love where we go.
And I have to say again, Jim, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I have so much respect for you working through this pyramid and this paradigm in real time. You know, you're not coming to people and with a published pre-thought, you know, you are truly co-creating, and you're doing it completely out loud and open. in front of everybody, and that just takes such bravery and courage. And I have a massive respect. Mana, I have mana for you, brother.
Thank you.
And it just means utter real pride and respect for you. Yeah.
Thank you. Guys, thank you for joining us. www.adventuresintruth.com. You can sign up. Pre-sales are starting probably next week. Deb, you can find down under. Oh, no, that's not down under. She's in New Zealand. So she's down under, but in New Zealand. But, Wake Up Warriors is her page, and she's also...
Wake Up Warriors. But I would really appreciate anyone who wants to donate to the children. That would just make my...
Please, please, please. So have a wonderful day, y'all. Thank you for being here. We're going to have a little closing. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.